Ever since we started our protesting, we've got
picked
better.
Up. Been unbeaten.
Is that my timings, or is that?
That's well, no, that's pretty. I mean, we
see, I can see the correlation.
Yeah, we had a good early win against Shrewsbury, which before there was any protest. But then after that, we had our traditional end of season slump, which these days
in September
gets earlier and earlier these days, isn't it?
I was going to say, at least with Curbs, we were like seventh in the Premier League when that started. But
yeah, no, we've turned it back on since something we're unbeaten in five now, and we're not counting the Colchester game for anything.
No.
Unless you're trying to talk about the confidence that Nicky Ajota would have got from scoring, but yeah, we're on it. Right, so let's listen back. It's been an audio walkthrough of what's happened over the last year here at the Valley. Starts off with talking to Joe Reid from what was then the Black and White campaign. You can hear it progress, and you can also hear one of the main turning points midway through, which was some quotes from Katrine and how it sort of progressed into full blown on the pitch protests. This is a look back at a year of protests here at the Valley.
Wait, what? We want that show back.
Joe Reid, you're behind the Spell It Out in Black and White Twitter account.
I think the campaign has to remember that we're coming up against a businessman, and I suppose we have to have achievable goals. So things like making the fan base feel a little bit more worthy with things like replying to their email. We have a history at this club of fighting for the right of the club, and for that to just be ignored, I don't really think it's acceptable. And now I'm standing here ready to hand out a few thousand leaflets. Yeah. I suppose the reason why it needed to start was because it's the same mistakes again and again and again. I mean, you could ask, you know, why now? But I suppose there's only so much you can take of just sort of giving the benefit of the doubt that things can change before you have to take action into your own hands, and that's what we're hoping to do now.
Rick Everett, the voice of the Valley editor, and sort of one of the men behind today's protest. What are the motives for today's protest?
I think we've got to a point where we need to demonstrate to the club and to the media and the wider football world the scale of the revolt at Cheltenham, that people are no longer going to put up with what's been going on here in the last 2 years.
The protests over the last few weeks, obviously you've been tied in with the Spell It Out in Black and White campaign as well, which started off as a request for more dialogue, but over the last couple of weeks it seems to have turned off, we want the owners out, basically.
I think it's clear that dialogue with the current chief executive, he can't have dialogue with the owner because he's not available, but certainly dialogue with the current chief executive and board is not going to be effective. They've set up a sham target 20,000 committee. They've got a view of how the club should be run. They're not prepared to staff it properly. They're not prepared to put a good enough team on the pitch. They're not prepared to put a manager who's credible in the dugout. I don't see what there is to talk to them about anymore. I think if we do get relegated, there'll be so few people here that it will be almost impossible for them to carry on. The problem is, at the stage that we've been relegated, it's going to be much less attractive for someone to come in and take it over.
Now, CARD, the Coalition Against Roland du Châtelet, I mean, what's the purpose that CARD are trying to achieve?
We kind of felt like a united front, where we all pulled in the same direction and all could bring the expertise we have in different areas together. So that was kind of how that came about.
What's the thinking behind the sort of flash protest?
If we announce that in advance, then the caterers can get in less stock and the club can print less programmes. So we thought we'd announce it at 12, and it gave us an idea to actually just run with that and do that at every home game.
Yeah, I mean, there was a quote from Rick Everett, it's about making the club unmanageable, and that's, I guess, what you're trying to achieve in this sort of vein.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, making it impossible to run on a day-to-day basis, you know. I mean, it's nothing illegal, we haven't done anything wrong, but it's made the jobs difficult of the people here, so, you know, that is the main aim, really.
Fans don't see themselves as customers, and so whenever I now get very friendly emails from fans, they say, get out of our club, so it's not the shareholders' club, I think. But they go to their restaurants with their family every week, and they go to the cinema, but if they're not satisfied with the product, will they go and scream to the people in charge of it? No, they don't. But they do it with a football club, and that's very weird because they feel a sense of ownership.
Obviously, the current regime's not working. You can tell by the amount of people here today, there's, at least 500-600 people here today.
There's no transparency, everybody's very concerned, and rightly so. You know, this is a great club, this is a fantastic club, and, you know, everyone's just seeing it go to pot, and everyone's sick and tired of it.
We ain't customers. We're the backbone of this. Of any fans are the backbone of any club.
Joined outside the Valley now, just after the mock funeral procession by Ben Hayes from Spell It Out in Black and White campaign. That was a really powerful show of emotion from the Trump fans, wasn't it?
Went really well. I looked behind me at one point and there seemed to be thousands of people following us up Floyd Road. It illustrates the decline of the club and the death of the club, which is imminent under this ownership. Unless we get a change, things aren't going to get any better. The club is slowly dying. It's being mismanaged. It's being misrun. And there's no future for the club the way it's been handled at the moment.
And today, also a new step for the Spell It Out and for Card, disrupting the games. It sounds like there's a few things in motion to try and actually disrupt the game. That's a big step again.
It's a very big step, and it's not something that any of us wanted to take. We would much rather be supporting the team and cheering them on to a victory and saying up. But it's reached the point now where that's so unrealistic, and we have to use the TV presence and disrupt it. We don't want to stop the game. We just want to disrupt it and make our point. Otherwise, than that, we hope the team win. But there'll be whistles. There'll be beach balls.
Card this week, advising fans to not buy season tickets. That's quite a big step, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's not a surprise. Won't come as a surprise to many fans that that's our view. And obviously, it's up to individuals to make their own decision. But I think that's the biggest statement that fans can make to the club at this stage. We're just not going to get this club back on track with these people in charge. They've got to go, and whatever we need to do to get them out, I'm afraid we're going to have to do. And even if we did stay up, we're not going to resolve the problem of the way that Roland du Châtelet wants to run the club, which isn't about a successful team, which isn't about the things that we expect of a football club in England and in the English League, and it's just no good for Charlton supporters.
One of the most successful protests we saw at the last game, of course, were the beach balls, and today you've got something similar lined up.
Yeah, we have, but we think that the crowd are getting a little bit stressed about the situation. The club seems to be getting very stressed, judging from the statements that are coming out from it. So we're going to try and relieve some of the pressure, and we've got some black and white stress balls that we'll be inviting people to share with the playing staff.
So I'm joined now outside the West Stand, still during the sit-in protest, by Richard Pemberton of Card.
Hey, it's been a very large protest and very effective. We've managed to block both the gates and stop an awful lot of cars coming in. And I think most importantly, we've taken the club unawares. So we've set up for a big protest inside the ground and we've taken it out ahead of the game and caused massive disruption for them, which is exactly what we're aiming to do.
Joining me here at the beginning of the march, I have Charlton fan Heather and Coventry fan Steve. Steve, I'll start with you. What message are you hoping that this Fans United protest will send to the owners of both clubs today?
Well, I think as supporters, we're very keen on keeping everybody together. I think the fact that it's a joint and it's a coalition of two lots of supporters who are in a bad place and keeping it together as a group. Whether it ever solve any problems, we don't know, but I just think that people should see that they're not all fans are the people that you see on the street. We just want to go and support our team, but we want to support a team that's got a future and that's got some investment and people who actually genuinely care about their clubs.
Heather, the coalition against Roland du Châtelet have been involved in some fairly innovative protests last season. Why have they decided to sort of start things again this season?
Well, the club has been saying that they've learned from their mistakes, and the evidence is that they've done none of that.